Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You seen Blues Traveler live?
Hell yeah, I saw them for free.
This band rips. Wait, they them for free?
They played the town next to my hometown. Had something called Hometown Holidays.
Yep.
And 1 year it was Hootie and the Blowfish, and the next year it was Blues Traveler. So I saw both
That's
of them.
That's awesome.
It
Those
was
are like
totally
two great
awesome.
Bands.
Yeah.
Top five harmonica players in music.
Ooh. Bob Dylan's got to be up there.
Bruce Springsteen has to be up there.
Yeah, I feel like those have to be top three.
And then I always forget the lead singer of Blues Traveler's
Blues.
Name.
Oh, no. His name is Blues.
His name is Blues, like Blues.
John Popper.
John Popper, that's it. John Popper probably on that list. I'm trying to think of other harmonica
Steven
players.
Tyler can rip the harmonica pretty well.
Can
really?
He? Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Does Aerosmith have a lot of harmonica in songs?
They have a good amount, yes, especially live. He does a lot of stuff live. But
Ooh, like when they go acoustic, he busts out the harmonica?
Yeah, Honking with Bobo. And why can't I think of any other songs? But yeah, they do a lot of it. And Ozzy Osbourne, awesome harmonica player.
Interesting.
What?
Okay.
I can't even imagine Ozzy playing... Rest in peace, playing harmonica.
I know. What song would he play harmonica?
The Wizard by Black Sabbath is a big harmonica song.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right.
I love the harmonica.
Let's see what Google says. These are guys I've never heard of. Oh, apparently Stevie Wonder. Quite the harmonica player
as well. I believe
it.
Yep. I believe it.
John Popper is on the list. And then, again, a bunch of guys I have never... Toots Thielemans.
Is that from Toots and the Maytals?
A great question.
I mean, there's John Popper and then there's everybody else.
I don't know. He's a Belgian jazz artist. Lazy Lester. Big Mama Thornton.
Big Mama Thornton?
Big Walter Horton.
Big Walter Horton.
That feels like they're like the same person.
Should we get to leads?
Yeah, we should get to the rest of the leads here. Go ahead, Mega. What is your lead this
okay,
morning?
Okay, so my lead is about new Boston Celtics ownership. And the Boston Globe had a story yesterday that I read in the business section about whether the new owner, Bill Chisholm, and his group are going to want to build an arena specifically for the Celtics. This is an idea that has been batted around from us in the media.
Sure.
Since the sale of the Celtics was announced, before we even had the finalists or the buyer emerge, because you're buying this team for $6.1 billion and then you're basically paying rent to the Jacobses to play at TD Garden.
Yep.
And if it's not that uncommon. There's, I think, 10 NBA teams where it's an overlap with NBA and NHL arenas. But there, I was reading this article, and the idea that caught my eye, like what made me more excited about it, was that having a basketball specific arena could be better for the Celtics game product. So going somewhere where it's not, you can be closer. I know we have the courtside seats, but the viewing experience for basketball is different than NHL. And so the configuration of the seats, the Jumbotron, everything could just be more specifically for not just the Celtics, but if you bring in a WNBA team.
Yeah, like the Connecticut Sun or whatever.
And I hadn't thought about it from that perspective before. Really, the only way that I've been thinking about it has been, are you going to take the team out of the city if you have to build an arena? Because an expert in this article says that 8 acres is needed for the arena alone, but it's probably going to be more like a 20 to 80 acre parcel of land.
Okay.
Because if you're going to go build an arena for the Celtics, you're probably going to want all the accoutrement that goes with it.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to be able to build up an area of lively bars, nightlife,
similar to what they're doing with Fenway.
And that you kind of naturally have across from TD Garden. It's a little bit different, but you are able to support all these different businesses right there.
Yeah, kind of how they've built up Causeway too, just like all that stuff.
Right. So you'd want to be able to have that much land. And so the perspective that I've been looking at it has been from, are you going to have to kick them out of the city, go to somewhere like Everett in order to make this happen? What does that mean for your transit, being able to get there on the T or easily by Uber or whatever? And then also, would the expense of, in the short term, building out that arena take away from what you would be able to spend on the actual basketball operations and the team? And I do think that the most compelling argument has been, to me, this one, the idea that the arena could just be focused on the Celtics and WNBA. It could just be a basketball arena. You could build something out beautiful like the Chase Center out for the Warriors in
San Francisco.
Because
then would you be more apt to host things like the NCAA tournament, like the regional finals and stuff like that, since, you know, you can kind of gear it so that it's when the Celtics are away or whatever?
Like, I don't have a problem with TD Garden, and obviously I love the location. It's really convenient as somebody who lives in the city. I like all the tradition around it from the old Boston Garden that's still carried over, even though in COVID we lost some great places like the Fours. But here are a couple of locations that they named for it.
Okay.
Of course, you have Everett. You have, I might be butchering the pronunciation of this, Wydad Circle.
Okay.
West Station, which is near that's just the big empty area of land near the Austin I-90 interchange, and they're changing the configuration of that, so it could open up some of that space. The previous Gillette World Shaving headquarters, Dorchester Bay City in Suffolk Downs. I'm kind of immediately less interested in Everett and Suffolk Downs just because they're so far removed from the city
100%,
compared to these other locations.
Well, because the Everett one, though, would be relatively close to, like, the casino, wouldn't it?
Yes, but even that is still, have you tried to get out to the casino many times?
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times.
Okay, I don't think it's very convenient as somebody who lives in the city.
Okay, I get that.
Compared to going somewhere like TD Garden right now or Fenway Park right now, these other locations that are named, I'm more okay with. Still concerned about what it would mean in terms of taking spending away from the basketball operations in the short term, because it would be so expensive.
But do you think that would happen?
Well, maybe it would just be such a huge benefit long term, because ownership would be reaping, you would guess, so much more money from having their own arena. The other side of this that you have heard people talk about that muse on this is, can you support another live events venue of the same size of, say, TD Garden within the city?
Probably.
Like, could you rent it out enough? Could you throw enough events
if
there?
Fenway can continue to have concert series, yeah, I think they could probably rent it out enough.
Is that a similar size in terms of the seats that you sell?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
I think TD Garden's a little bit different. And with Fenway, you do get an amount of, we talked about Pearl Jam in the last segment, you get a certain amount of artists who are like, it would just be cool to play Fenway Park. That's a historic venue.
Yeah, so Fenway Park's almost double TD Garden.
Interesting.
According to quick Google search, TD Garden approximately 20K. Fenway Park is approximately 38.
Fenway, you're also hampered by the only time that you can really do concerts is within your own season because of the elements.
Exactly. Whereas if you had a basketball-specific arena, you can have concerts year-round just because you're indoors. It doesn't really matter. It's interesting. I think long term the benefits of having their own arena would far outweigh the negatives in the short term. But like, I think that's a really good point, that if you are just want the Celtics to compete and be competitive and spend money on players, then it may be that the situation they're currently in is probably the best for them in that it allows Bill Chisholm the most financial, or his group, the most financial flexibility in just purchasing, buying players, spending on them, winning championships, and then not having to worry about also paying for the building of a brand new arena on a 20-acre plot or whatever it is.
Yeah, but like I said, the best argument that I've heard so far is that the idea that you can configure this entire arena around basketball.
Yeah.
It's not going to
be cool.
configured around hockey, where the Jacobs' own TD Garden, it's a hockey arena that hosts the Celtics.
Because do the Celtics have their own like team Hall of Fame?
What do you mean?
Like you know how the Patriots have the Patriots Hall of Fame? The Celtics don't have.
Well, they have the they have the sports museum within TD Garden.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, because like that's another thing that like you can add to it and try and it, like you said, expand it out and make it almost like a whole little neighborhood. You can add like you know your Hall of Fame and restaurants and all these different things.
It
that
would
just
be weird,
are all
though,
basketball
to watch the Bruins play without the Celtics banners overhead.
Would it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it would. It would feel like because they, to me, in my mind, they've been tied for so long.
Oh my God! Yeah, they've been tied forever.
That I think it would just look a little bit empty. Those Celtics banners take up a lot of space.
They do. There's a lot of them, Mego.
They're beautiful.
There's more than the Bruins banners, that's for sure.
Yikes.
Thank you, Mego. Excellent lead this morning. My lead for you today is we did a show on Saturday, and I expressed concern for the first time about Mike Vrabel and mm-hmm. the decision-making of the organization in regards to the Jabril Peppers release. I think I've now shifted from concern to skepticism of the organization as a whole. I don't think that this is necessarily a Mike Vrabel problem. I've kind of expanded my point of view here. I'm very worried that the New England Patriots as an organization are simply bad decision makers. Like, they are just terrible decision makers, whether it's the hiring of Jerod Mayo without even like interviewing other coaches when Mike Vrabel was available at that time, by the way. Whether it's the way in which they got the offensive coordinator, it felt like almost like the Red Sox GM job that nobody wanted, and eventually you just kind of
That was the offensive coordinator last year.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, and then this year, instead of actually going and finding a good young offensive coordinator to help your young quarterback, you brought in Josh McDaniels, who's been a journeyman coach in the league, and with this team now for his fourth stint. And failed miserably as a head coach in a couple other places and as an offensive coordinator in other places. And so then I watched them cut Jabril Peppers in a year where overall the talent on the roster is very thin. There's not a lot. You need as many talented players as you can get. And with massive question marks surrounding Christian Gonzalez, his health entering week one, and who knows, maybe even the first couple weeks of the season with this hamstring injury, you need extra help in the secondary, and yet you cut arguably your best safety, arguably. And seeing what Craig Woodson will be is kind of a question mark. But outside of that, like, Jabril Peppers was your most experienced and overall the most talented safety you had on the roster, and you just cut him. And he cost $4.5 million. Even if he was going to get a lesser role on the defense, you're paying him chump change. You can keep him around, and he can play a limited amount, and if somebody's hurt and you need to slide Craig Woodson out of safety into slot corner because Christian Gonzalez is going to miss a month, well, it makes it easier because Jabril Peppers steps in instead of Kyle Duggar.
So,
and I think the bad contracts that have been handed out over the last couple seasons, the lack of aggressiveness in free agency, the comments by Elliot Wolf of, oh yeah, we'd be willing to spend a first or second round pick, and you just sound like the kings of interest. And so overall, I think there is an organizational flaw when it comes to decision making, and I am not confident that they will continue to make the right decisions around their young players and young stars, i.e. Drake May, in order to be a successful franchise over the next few years.
So a couple questions here. When you say there's an organizational concern for you, it's not just looking at Mike Vrabel and saying, is he making the right decision here with Jabril Peppers and this very surprising release last week? Who are you talking about then?
I think ownership is very much at the head of this. I don't think Elliot Wolf should have a job. So who keeps him employed? Ownership. And I think that there's a chance that this team is just, I've seen multiple opportunities now, and the DK Metcalf one is the one that stands out the most to me, where you can acquire young talent that's in their prime, and all you really have to do is just pay them money. and yet the organization refuses to do that, doesn't want to do that. They have 50, after the Jabril Peppers cut, like $56 million in cap space. And they signed some free agents this offseason, sure, but they could have signed more. They could have thrown way more money around if they wanted to, and they chose not to. And they continue to choose not to. And, I know there were six teams interested in Micah Parsons. I want to know if the Patriots were interested. You should have been, even if you don't get him, you need to be willing to throw $45 million at a generational pass rusher because you have the opportunity to do that with a young rookie quarterback. I don't think they will. I don't think this team is ever going to spend $30 million on a receiver, even though that's the market and that's what you have to do. And so I also think the Jacoby Myers trade, probably out the window, because he's going to want like $25 million after having 1,000 yards last year, and they're not going to want to pay it. And so that's why I think it's unrealistic to expect them to go and acquire anybody, because Stephon Diggs, they got at a cheap price. He was injured last season, kind of disgruntled, had some bad relationships with people in the league. They thought he was kind of on the way out. They got him at a cheap price. They get him in. It's like a one-year contract, and then they can get rid of him after the year. And it's on half the amount of money they would spend on a guy like DK Metcalf. And I think they would rather do that than actually spend on a legitimate talent.
My feeling on where the organization is right now, if you're saying how much confidence should you have in them, is that they're reeling from the very strong decisions that they made 2+ years ago and wanting to divorce Bill.
Yep.
And handling that the way that they did with having Jerod Mayo pre-chosen and then it all going to crap. And now they're sitting here picking up the pieces and asking Mike Vrabel to be the one who's picking up most of the pieces.
Which is an unfair ask.
And I think people, it's fair to look at it and go, all right, like this is just an incompetent organization. I understand, I would say, why people look at it as this is an incompetent organization. It was all Tom Brady. They're just this way and that way. And they have no direction. They have no vision. They're not going to spend seriously. And I understand why people would look at it from that perspective. But I think the reality of it is they set themselves back in that rebuild with the divorce of Bill. Yes, they had to get out from under the Bill Belichick era. They had to move
100%.
On. But the way that they did it was clearly slapdash and not well executed.
Nobody thought anything out. There was no foresight
so
whatsoever.
Now they're further back in the rebuild than they expected to be 2 years ago. And they have Mike Vrabel here, and they know that the expectations are what they are because of Vrabel and because now the clock's ticking with your rookie quarterback contract and Drake May and the expectations around him. But the reality is they're still further back in the rebuild than they thought they were going to be. So am I sitting here saying they're never going to spend $30 million on a wide receiver? No, I think they will spend again. And I think that they are spending again. I don't think that they're spending in the way that a team that thinks that they're going to win the conference championship would spend or even be in that game. I agree with that. I think that they have tempered expectations for what they're going to be because they know that they did so many things that set themselves back a year. But I think that to sit here and say, I've lost all faith in the franchise, they're bad decision makers and they don't know what they're doing. They made really bad decisions last year. And some of that even before Bill Belichick was out the door. But I don't think that that necessarily means that they can't find their direction and that Mike Vrabel can't be somebody who does a lot in helping them find that direction.
Yeah,
again.
Look, I haven't lost all faith. I've just become far more skeptical of the situation in that I believe Mike Vrabel could do those things if the opportunity is afforded him. Like, I don't know that they are going to grant him the full authority to do all the things necessary to become a good football team.
Was behind with the very limited information that we have.
Yep.
Just looking at the situation. Who do you think was behind the Jabril Peppers release?
That to me was probably Mike Vrabel.
Okay. So if you're looking at this and going, I'm just losing faith in the entire organization because why did they cut someone who, from your estimation, is the best safety on the team?
Yep.
Well, that's not an organization issue. That's a Mike Vrabel decision.
That one decision, sure. But I look at it like it just kind of compounded itself with the moment Micah Parsons got traded. This offseason, I've just watched things kind of go mediocrely throughout the offseason.
They're
signing
a mediocre
free agents
team.
I understand. But like at the same time, you need to be a little bit more aggressive. I feel like having witnessed what just happened with Micah Parsons and the fool Jerry Jones has made of himself, it is hard not to draw some parallels between what Jerry Jones is doing right now and what Robert Kraft has done over the last couple of years.
I don't know that that's fair. Unless you're sitting here
when
telling
you talk,
me...
You talked about the Bill Belichick divorce. You immediately come out with a documentary that tries to throw the guy under the bus.
Right.
You're more worried about your public image and having a press conference with him when you fire him than you are about actually building a good organization.
But, Chime, you could argue that putting out a documentary where you're slinging mud at the coach that you divorced yourself from just a month and a half prior doesn't actually affect the football product.
But they've also continued to try and, like... put him down and pick themselves up, and it just doesn't...
Right, but that's not the same as... Like, okay, if you want to go through and say, we don't understand why Elliott Wolf is still in the position he's in, we don't even really understand how much power he has in the organization, but it seems odd that
everybody
besides Jeremy Springer and the Mayo's brother in the conditioning department, like, everybody else is cleaned out, but Wolf is still here, and we're already looking at the 2024 draft saying, what is this besides Drake May?
So bad.
Like, to me, that's a bigger organizational question of everything than them just putting out a documentary and continuing to be just so messy with Bill Belichick. Like, that, to me, is just old guys arguing. If you look at the football product and the football, perspective of things, the Elliott Wolf is the bigger question mark of where's this organization going. And so if you told me it was Elliott Wolf and his people's decision to release Jabril Peppers based on something, then I'd put my hands in the air and go, oh no, we have a problem. Because I think the only thing that Elliott Wolf ever did that was great was trading old red sleeves over there.
Yeah. That's literally, like, the best thing on... Because, again, I don't give him credit for the Drake May pick. There were three quarterbacks, and he fell in your lap. And, I mean, some would argue that... I've heard somebody this weekend tell me they like Bo Nix more than they like Drake May, and Bo Nix went three picks later. I disagree. But there's some people out there that actually believe that, especially after the rookie year Bo Nix had. So 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show, but right now we got to get caught up with what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Sox take the final game against the Pirates 5-2. Lucas Giolito went six innings, allowing one run, striking out six. The Sox welcoming the Guardians to Fenway Park this afternoon. First pitch, 1:35, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Parker Messick. Lenny DiNardo and Cooper Boardman are on the call for WEEI. You can kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. College football kicked off this weekend. We had a few bangers on Saturday. We saw number 3 Ohio State beat number 1 Texas 14-7. Number 9 LSU beat number 4 Clemson 17-10. And yesterday, number 10 Miami beat number 6 Notre Dame 27-24. And tonight, we get the first game for the Bill Belichick UNC-led Tar Heels as they welcome in TCU. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. You can hear all the action right here on the Shaw's and Stum, or right here on WEEI. That's what's trending. We'll be back with more Mego and Shime filling in for the...
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Greg Hill Show. Mango and Sean here filling in for the Greg Hill Show. 617-779-7937 if you want to call in. We talked a lot of Pats this morning, Queen tribute bands, Celtics, and possibly getting a new arena.
Pearl Jam. Who are they?
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
Does anyone under 30 know?
Oasis, the biggest alt-rock band in the world.
Depressing.
So we've hit on all that. Feel free to weigh in. That's the number to call in. You can also text in on that number as well. But Mego, tonight right here on WEEI at 8 p.m., we have the kickoff of TCU at UNC, the first college football game coached by the one and only Bill Belichick. How do we feel about Bill and his current standing at UNC? Do we think they're going to be pretty good this year? How do we think tonight might go? Where are you at currently with Bill?
I don't have high expectations.
Really?
I don't. I think that this is someone who's trying to reinvent himself through the NCAA in his, for the first time, coaching college ball in his 70s. And as much respect as we all have for Bill as a football mind, I think it's just such a massive undertaking to do that. And I wish him well. It would be fun if the team is exciting and they do something interesting this year. I just don't have high expectations. I don't have malice. Like, there are some texters texting in right now, 617-779-7937, if you want to join the show that way. Somebody said, after what Belichick did to Brady here, I hope he goes winless this year and blown out tonight on national television. Word we can't say on the radio deserves it.
Yeah, that's mean.
That's really aggressive.
I don't like, and
Brady seems okay with him now. Like, can we at least move on from the Brady Belichick?
Yeah, Brady
divorce?
And Belichick seem great. It's really Belichick and Kraft that hate each
right.
other.
Right. And I don't, again, I don't like wish, I don't wish ill on Bill.
No.
I just don't think it's going to be a very good program.
I think they'll be fine this year. I don't think they'll be, you know, pushing for an ACC title or an NCAA playoff seed. But I think a year from now they could. I think that Bill is a good enough football coach.
Is he still going to be interested a year from now?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's ever coming back to the NFL, contrary to what a lot of other people believe. I think he will be in college for the next 4 or 5 years, and then he'll call it quits, is my guess. That's my personal read on the situation. And I think the thing he has going for him is his schedule is such a cupcake schedule. He needs to win 6 or 7 games in year one. He has to. You have to make a bowl game in year one here, because I just don't think the other teams... I mean, he's facing teams like Charlotte, mm-hmm. the University of Richmond, go Spiders.
Hey, I used to play Richmond.
Yeah.
Beautiful campus.
Excellent place. Excellent place. But he also gets like Stanford and Virginia, Cal, NC State. Like, these aren't like powerhouses. The only two real tough games he has is he'll have number 4 Clemson, and then he faces... Syracuse. I know Syracuse was good last year. I don't even know if they're any good this year. They might have even lost
Clemson's
yesterday.
Already dead, right? Oh, no. That's the way that college football used to work.
Yeah, exactly. Not anymore. They only lost one game. Oh, yeah. Syracuse just got bodied by Tennessee the other day. So,
great.
There's plenty of games on the schedule that Bill should be able to win. There's not a ton of tough opponents here. So, I think that he has going for him. That's actually how I feel about a couple NFL teams this year, too, which we will get to in a little while. But I think you're right. Overall, you should temper expectations for Bill's season. I think he needs to come out and win tonight, though. Make a statement.
There's this story that came out last night from David Hale and Andrea Edelson.
Okay.
From ESPN.
Okay.
And there's just a few little pieces in here that I want to read to you because all right. It's all about Bill and his operation at UNC.
I bet it's glowing.
This is where it raises a few alarm bells for
me.
Oh,
no.
If Bill Belichick's NFL resume was a selling point to UNC fans, his status as a college newcomer quickly became uncomfortably apparent to numerous high school coaches, recruits, and staffers who spoke to ESPN. They described the December and January recruiting push as frenetic and disjointed in process, in which few people seem to have a clear vision for the program's direction. In a quest to, quote, go lean, Belichick quickly cut ties with much of the previous staff, from assistant coaches to entry-level personnel who handled the basic operations of recruiting. When he was in the office, Belichick spent most of his time behind closed doors in a staff room with Tar Heels GM Mike Lombardi. Great!
Nice.
Some newly hired personnel staffers, with one source involved in the process saying the Tar Heels initially couldn't do, quote, traditional visits because there were so few people for players to meet with. Another source at UNC said the decision to move on from prior staff was understandable, but, quote, you still need someone who knows how to book a flight or a hotel. Multiple sources confirmed Belichick ultimately relented, or at least temporarily, rehiring some analysts just to fill the void. Quote, a couple times they brought in good players and ignored them on their visit, a source with direct knowledge of the situation said. There were times that the kids would be waiting 30 45 minutes or an hour, then all of a sudden, you're not meeting with Coach Belichick anymore, and we'll go back to the airport.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great. Look, I would expect that there are some kinks that need to be ironed out for Bill and his operation in college because it is so much different than the NFL. But those things don't always sound. But
hey, Bill, there's a 17-year-old waiting with his mom in the waiting room. They've been here for an hour. They flew in from California. Not interested in him anymore.
But at the same time, it also could just be a couple disgruntled players that didn't get a chance to actually meet with Bill Belichick, and they're feeding this information to ESPN, right? Like, it's not like it happened with every single player. I mean, Bill went out and got, the transfer from South Alabama to play quarterback. So clearly, Bill was doing something. I believe fully that there weren't enough people to handle a lot of the recruiting stuff. Again, because I don't think Bill was as familiar with it. And I don't think he was prepared necessarily for this opportunity, quite like some other guys who are very familiar with college football are when they switch schools and go from one small school to a bigger school. And so I believe that probably did happen. There were probably some kinks to iron out, but at the same time, like, I still think he's going to be able to coach and get some players. And if he wins football games and proves that he can get guys from the NCAA to the NFL at a high, rate, people are just going to come play for him naturally anyways. He's not going to need to, draw a parade for these prospects.
There is some Jordan Hudson stuff in here, by the way.
Oh, no. Jordan?
Jordan, sorry.
Good
Jordan.
Or bad?
More just like the idea that all publicity is good publicity, which I think we've gone way too far with as a society.
Oh, yeah.
Exposure is suddenly just, or I guess it's more a gradual thing, but we're at a point now where it feels like exposure is the end-all goal for everything. Like, if you go viral for anything, hey, people are looking at you, and that's all that matters. And that makes me feel very queasy.
It's all about the numbers.
Especially
likes and clicks.
Bill was so antithetical to that for all his years of success.
Yeah, he's dating a 24-year-old.
Yeah, now it feels more like an act of desperation that you're now part of the viral machine of all publicity is good publicity. And I just think that's like this stunt with her wearing the, Super Bowl t-shirt out when they're in public.
But do you think that's him or that's her?
Well, he's obviously not saying anything against it.
Yeah, because he's dating a 24-year-old. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, If Bill Belichick was not dating Jordan Hudson, none of this stuff would be happening. None of it. Because he doesn't care.
So you're
care.
Just blaming her for everything.
Well, when it comes to the all publicity is good publicity, yes. That is all her.
Do you think that's a younger person thing?
Yes, because that's the culture she grew up in. And so she's trying to tell old man Bill, hey, this is the way things are done now. Like, you need to constantly be in the public eye. You need to be front of mind. You need to have eyes on you because that's the only way you stay relevant and stay popular. And if you're popular, kids want to come here and play for you and go to the NFL. Like, instead of just hard work paying off.
Like, all of the things that I said before, I haven't talked about Jordan at all.
Yeah.
I don't think that she's going to be the reason that UNC has problems.
No.
That they're not going to be a college football playoff team. Like,
no,
I don't
that's
think
not what
that.
I'm saying either. Like, I just think that she is clearly the PR machine around Bill Belichick, and whether he coaches well or not is all up to Bill. Like, what he does on the field is all Bill Belichick, not Jordan Hudson. But everything off the field, all of this news and constant, like the Super Bowl t-shirt or the documentary or anything like that, that is 100% Jordan.
Yeah, I just, it's the weirder development in all of it, obviously.
For sure.
I don't think it's going to be the reason that UNC struggles at all.
No, that's not going to be why they sink or swim.
It's just going to be part of a sideshow, though. If things do go south very quickly, how many shots do you think we get of her on the broadcast tonight? One?
Ooh, tonight? Oh, no. Minimum four.
What?
Yeah.
You think
she's going to be in a box.
You don't think that Bill is going to... I got to be honest. I don't know how it works with ACC programs. I'm guessing they have a production meeting, right?
Where I assume the coaches... this game's on ESPN, so...
Yeah. So you don't think that Bill and Mike Lombardi have gone to ESPN and said, like, let's not have this be the Jordan show?
No, this is going to be... It's Taylor Swift all over again. Just at the college
level.
That's
an unfair comparison.
No, I think that's exactly what they're going to do.
I don't...
Taylor
Swift is like the most famous person in the world.
Yes, and that's what she wants. Like, she wants
Jordan
them to always have the cameras.
Jordan is the second runner-up in Miss Maine.
She's not going to let Bill tell them not to show her on camera. She would not allow that.
But Bill might say, we really just need this to be focused on the football team.
Yeah, do you think he would acquiesce? He hasn't acquiesced on anything else.
We can't know what could be pitched behind the scenes.
Every opportunity to be in front of a camera they've taken. I feel like that's not going to stop now.
Yeah, I don't. I think.
Look,
we get
I'm
one
not
shot.
Saying what she's doing is
over
good or
under,
bad.
What's the line? Over under how many shots?
I'll say 3.5. Set the line at 3.5.
I feel like it's 2.
Okay. I think it's like 1.25, basically.
We'll see. One shot. And she has an outfit change every time.
Yeah, they might even do like one of those little like 2-minute puff pieces during halftime on them.
What if the mascot is out there dancing around and takes the head off and it's short on?
Or she comes out with pom-poms and leads the cheerleaders.
Yeah, it should be like Where's Waldo, where Jordan just pops up in different parts of the stadium.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Ooh, find Jordan.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Where's Jordan?
617-779-7937. How are we feeling about Bill Belichick making his debut as the head coach of the UNC Tar Heels tonight? You can catch all the action of that game right here on WEEI. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. It's Mego and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show. We'll be back with more coming up next.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Mago and Shime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show on this Labor Day Monday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you're enjoying your day off. And if you're working today just like us, hope you're grinding away out there. Hope you got a nice coffee and started your day off wonderful, because there was no traffic out there. There shouldn't have been. I don't think I saw a single car on my side of the highway for approximately 20 of the 35 minutes it took me to get here.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Love that for you.
It's a beautiful thing. You can just, you don't even have to worry about anything. But Mego, we were planning the show a little bit yesterday, and you sent a story that you need a douche move ruling on, correct?
Yes.
All right, let's get to that.
And now, another episode of Douche Move.
Ha, what a douche.
All right, Mega, what do we got?
Increasingly, I feel like air travel is failing all of us at all times and all different levels.
Always.
But the overhead bin space is just the source of greatest anxiety for me traveling.
Interesting. Like okay, why?
Because I am a big, not big, appropriate size roller bag person.
Got it. Okay.
Like I bring the roller bag on if I'm going for 2 days or if I'm going for a week, but it's, you know, the smaller size, it's supposed to fit perfectly when you place it into the overhead compartment. So this story resonated with me a lot from the New York Post. It's about somebody who was flying on an airline where overhead bin space is allotted for your seat, like most of us expect.
Yep.
You know, you put maybe a purse or a very small backpack or something underneath your
seat. I'm a big duffel bag guy in the overhead bin.
Or you do the duffel or you do the roller bag in the overhead bin. And this person boarded the plane and said they kept going further back and further back and there was no overhead space left. And then they came upon two pairs of shoes. Somebody had taken two pairs of shoes and put those in an overhead bin spot. So the person turns and asks around the plane, whose shoes are up in the overhead bin? Whose shoes are these? And the owner of the shoes said, they're mine. Do you work for the airline? And so the original storyteller takes the shoes, puts them down on the ground, and puts their bag up there. Goes and sits down. Instead of confronting the person who put the bag up, the shoes person, later on in the flight, goes and takes the bag and moves it somewhere else to hide it from the person.
What?
Who is...
People are psychotic.
Who? I mean, I think both of these people are douches.
I disagree.
But who's worse?
No, I only think there's one douchier, and it's the guy who put his shoes in the overhead bin. If they don't fit in your bag, deal with it. Like, don't be putting shoes in the overhead bin. There's limited overhead bin space, all right? You have it. You put one thing up there. You get one rolling suitcase that fits in the overhead bin. You slide it in, and you call it a day. That's it. You should be putting nothing else up there, unless it's like the small, like a sweatshirt or like a small little like bag you got at the gift shop that can kind of fit in the crevices that doesn't take up a whole slot.
No, then that should go under the seat.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you already have a backpack under the seat or something, like, I'm saying,
if it's not a big structured bag, it should be under the seat. Like, if it's your purse, if it's your jacket, if it's a big sun hat, it goes under the seat. It doesn't go up there.
Well, but like, say somebody's going to a wedding and they have a suit in like the big bag.
Yeah,
they can stick that on top of the.
You know what they do? They hang that at the front of the plane for you. All you have to do is ask.
What?
Oh,
I've never seen that before in my life.
Oh my gosh. When you walk onto the plane, take a look when you first board the plane and look to your right. There's a little compartment where you will see people who work for the airline hanging their jackets.
Interesting.
And if you say, I have a suit bag, could you hang my suit bag for me? They'll say, sure. Just don't forget it when you leave the plane.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So I think the guy who put his shoes in the overhead bin is the absolute biggest douche there is. I don't think that's allowed
so,
at all.
So as I'm saying, those go under the seat. Those absolutely do. But as a fellow airline passenger, you don't touch other people's stuff. Like, that is very rude. Even if you're like, whose shoes are these? And you put them on the floor. Like, don't touch their stuff. Say, do you mind moving your shoes down? I have a bag. We're really running out of space here. Can those fit under there? Yeah. That's the way to handle it like a normal adult person. Not then, and then it starts a chain reaction of people being infuriated and moving your bag further down and hiding it from people.
But if nobody cops up, if you say, hey, whose shoes are these? And nobody cops up to it, then I'm going to move them.
Well, that person's probably sitting with giant headphones on. Like,
that's their fault.
I called out,
hey, whose shoes are these? Can you please move them? Nobody cops up to the shoes. I'm taking them out.
It doesn't say whether the shoe wearer was a man or a woman.
Yeah, it could be either.
What if it's a woman with like very expensive shoes?
That deal with it. You should
says they
ship
have to
them.
Be a
ship them. Put them in a fragile box and ship them. And so I just want to. This is why I rarely travel with anything bigger than a very flexible duffel bag to stick in the overhead bin.
Duffel bag is such a pain to carry around the airport, though.
I mean, it is and it isn't. A nice strap on the shoulder makes it easy.
No.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So you end up with a big red mark on your shoulder from carrying that heavy duffel
so
bag
here's,
around.
So here, would you like a hack? And I travel,
yes.
Shime's personal travel hack.
Okay.
So when I do travel with one of the rolling suitcases that would have to go in the overhead bin, normally what happens when you get to the gate right before boarding, somebody comes on the little speakerphone, the little PA, hey, anybody with a bag that's willing to check it, we'll take those now. And they take it for free. You don't have to pay for a checked bag. And
that's when I start panicking. I'm like, don't touch my bag.
No,
just let me bring it on the plane. I'm paying for the carry-on as part of the ticket. Let me bring my bag. It's the proper size.
I understand, but you have to. But the issue is the airline can't control the psychopath idiots who are putting shoes in the overhead bin.
And
right?
Some of these people are bringing like three bags onto the plane.
It's insane.
It is insanity.
You need to control it, but they don't. But regardless, as soon as they ask, I walk right up and I say, you can take my bag. Thank you very much. Because then I don't have to pay $35 to check my bag. And you know it's getting on your flight because they take it right down to the end of the walkway and they put it directly on the plane. There is no intermediary between dropping it off at check-in and then having to get to the actual correct plane. So you know your luggage also won't get lost.
It just makes me too anxious.
Oh, see,
I just don't trust that it's going to end up there.
Yeah.
Have you ever lost luggage?
Never once.
Okay. It happens once. You never want anyone to touch your luggage again.
Well, so, and I get that, which is why I rarely check luggage when you check in.
Right.
And I only do it at the gate when necessary. That's it.
Yeah. I don't. This.
Most times, to be honest, though, I'm traveling with like a backpack.
The way that people behave on airplanes has just gone so far out of control. And I kind of blame the airplane environment itself because they're shoving us into these little sardine seats,
yep.
And it's just gotten worse and worse. You don't even get meals anymore. We're not allowed to have peanuts. And like, I just will never forget they don't give us screens anymore. Have you noticed that?
Some airlines do, most don't.
If you're doing like a 6-hour flight, they might give you a screen.
Oh, see, any JetBlue flight has a screen.
Okay. So a couple years ago, I was flying another airline that was not JetBlue.
Mm.
And this might have been a douche move on my part.
Oh, boy.
But I was really disappointed because this is before all the airlines started definitely having Wi-Fi, which also doesn't work unless you pay like the $10 Wi-Fi fee.
Brutal.
But anyway, my screen was broken. And it was like a 6-hour flight. And so I told the person working, I was like, hey, can you the flight attendant, hey, my screen's broken. Is there anything we can do? And he was like, no, sorry. And I was like, oh, well, when this happens on JetBlue, they give me more snacks. And he goes, this isn't JetBlue.
Yeah, I that happened to me one time, and it's not like JetBlue's fault or anything, but the one
no,
TV.
No, but they ply you with snacks.
Yes, they give me an extra soda or an extra snack.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're like, here's a drink voucher. Here's some snacks. Have your sugar and your alcohol, and you'll feel a lot better.
Exactly. And so ever since that did happen to me that one time, I come fully prepared,
yes.
Downloaded videos and or movies on my phone and iPad at all times.
Yeah, I download podcasts too.
And worst case scenario, I have a book.
Oh, worse. Just in case. You have to turn to literature.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, I do love a good book. So there's actually a book coming out in like a month or so.
What is it?
It's called The Strength of the Few. It is the sequel to The Will of the Many. It's the second book in a series, and it's by James Islington. If you enjoy a little fantasy, sci-fi, it is phenomenal. You, in every kind of like fantasy or sci-fi world, there is a power system, you know, in a way in which people gain power, right? So like a magic system or a random, you know, like a power system regardless. And then this one is very unique. It's very different, and it makes it really, really interesting. So.
Neither of us ever changes in this conversation. The last time we were talking about this, I was reading Devil in the White City.
Yes.
And now I'm reading another Eric Larson book.
Ooh. Oh, speaking of real things.
Yeah.
Lauren and I last night watched a documentary on Netflix.
After the break, because
okay.
I want to hear.
Yeah, definitely. 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.